Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Welcome to this AM Best Briefing. The rating of insurance-related asset-backed securities. Questions answered. I'm John Weber. Due to the unique nature of this insurance asset class, the rating of insurance-related asset-backed securities, or ABS transactions, sometimes requires further clarification of our process. In this webinar, AM Best senior analytical staff explore common types of insurance ABS transactions and the key assumptions behind their ratings. They will discuss the default rates applied to the transaction's collateral, the asset-dependent recovery rates, the use of credit substitution and enhancement on collateral and related securities, and the determination of the implied rating of the securities by applying best idealized issue default matrix. Now, we may mention the subject of financial strength ratings. A full explanation of AM Best ratings is available on our website at ambest.com. Presenting today are Wai Tang, Senior Director of AM Best, and Emmanuel Madu, Managing Director of AM Best. And Manny, we're going to start with you today. How does AM Best define insurance asset-backed securities, and how do they relate to insurance-linked securities?
Well, insurance-linked securities is a broad category of transactions that include both asset-backed securities and liability transactions. Now, asset-backed securities typically involve self-liquidating collateral, which means that the assets produce cash flows based on triggers such as time, as in the case of insurance company bonds, or death, as in the case of life insurance policies. Liability transactions, on the other hand, are typically fully collateralized reinsurance transactions that cover loss events, such as hurricanes and other insurance events. An example of a liability transaction would be a natural catastrophe bond.
So what are some examples of insurance asset-backed security transactions?
Examples include structured settlement transactions. In these transactions, the assets are impaired annuities related to injury claims. Life settlement transactions are securitizations of life insurance policies, generally of insureds over 65 years old. Bank-owned life insurance transactions, these are transactions in which banks monetize insurance policies they own. Insurance commission transactions, these are securitizations of insurance commissions to be collected by agents. Surplus note and insurance trust CDO transactions. These transactions are usually used by small insurers for borrowing money from the capital markets. Premium finance loan transactions, these are securitizations of loans made to individuals who finance the premiums of the insurance policies. And transactions with insurance protection, these are transactions where the collateral or the securities being rated are insured by third parties.
Why, most people are familiar with AM Best financial strength ratings, or FSRs, issued to insurers. Do you use the same rating scale and naming convention for rating asset-backed securities?
Oh, no, not in this case. We don't use the same rating scale and naming convention for rating asset-backed securities. Instead of the FSR's 13-point rating scale, we use the long-term issue credit rating, or IR, as shown in this slide. This is a 21-point scale of ratings and analysis that should be familiar to capital market participants. A long-term IR is an opinion of the ability to meet the terms of ongoing financial obligations to security holders when due. It may be assigned to specific issues such as debt, preferred stock, trust preferred securities, or insurance-linked securities.
And do you make a distinction between the rating of insurance asset-backed securities from that of debt issued by insurance companies?
Yes, we do make a distinction here. For insurance asset-backed securities, a rating modifier, SF, is appended to the rating, as shown here. Because this is an asset-backed securities rating, according to SEC Regulation 75, the sponsor of this transaction is required to post all information used in the rating process in a password-protected website. Any other rating agencies who want to rate transaction can ask the sponsor for the access to the website. So they can download the information from the website to rate the transaction.
Manny, we don't see many insurance ABS transactions in the market. So who's getting these ratings?
So many of the insurance asset-backed securities transactions are privately rated. Now, some of the investors in these transactions are indeed insurance companies that fully understand the risks, but they simply want objective ratings in order to assign risk charges to their investments for their internal capital models. Now, the holders of these securities may also want to sell them to third parties in the future, so for this reason, they may need a rating. Now, in some cases, the NAIC's Securities Valuation Office, or SVO, leverages credit ratings from credit rating providers like AM Best to assess the credit quality of these securities. These assessments by the SVO are significant because they can affect the risk-based capital U.S. insurers must hold.
Why? What are some of the unique features of insurance asset-backed security transactions?
Oh, John, that's a very good question. For insurance ABS transactions, there must be some insurance elements involved. The element may include insurance companies or insurance products. If insurance companies are involved, we need to know the impairment rate and recovery rate of the insurers in order to rate the transaction. As you may know, it is quite difficult to determine the recovery rate of insurer or insurer because not much data is available for analysis. However, impairment rates are a bit easier to estimate given our extensive historical database of insurance companies' ratings. If insurance products are involved, such as life insurance policies and structured settlements, we will need to understand the mortality, longevity, and lapses. In most cases, we have to simulate those insurance risks along with the credit risk of the insurers simultaneously to understand the default risk of the transaction. Sometimes, we do need to understand the regulatory environment in which the industry operates. For example, for life settlement securitization, we have to understand insurable interest issues, such as stranger originated life insurer, the STOLIA, and associated with litigation risk.
And what's the general structure of an insurance asset-backed security transaction?
Oh yeah, the general structure of the insurance asset-backed securities transaction is pretty much the same as the typical asset-backed securities transaction for other sectors. First, the securities usually are issued from a bankruptcy remote purpose vehicle, or SPV. Second, securities have fixed legal maturities, but sometimes the principal may be completely paid down before the legal maturities. Third, a well-defined waterfall to dictate the priority for payment related to expenses, interest, and principal, etc., from the cash flow generated by the underlying asset. Fourth, the underlying assets are generally self-liquidating, in contrast to money market fund or some other collateral in liability transactions. Fifth, the performance of the securities just depends on the performance of the underlying assets and nothing else. Here is a slide of a generic insurance ABS diagram. First item is the special purpose vehicle SPVs. As I mentioned earlier, this is a bankruptcy remote entity either owns the asset or has beneficial interest in the assets. It's legally separated from the originator's bankruptcy. It can be a sale of a segregated account company, sometimes used in the insurance space. Second item, the originator, which is the entity accumulates the assets for the sale or transfer to the SPV. Third, self-liquidating asset, which is sold or transferred to SPV by the originator. Waterfall is the fourth item. As I mentioned before, it's the priority of payments of principal and interest to the investors. The investors are the note holders who provide funding for the acquisition of the assets. Six is credit enhancement. In some of the transactions, there is credit enhancement to the cash flow or the underlying assets or the rated securities. Seven, legal documents that cover all interactions among all parties.
Manny, why mentioned earlier that one of the things that makes insurance asset-backed security transactions unique are the assumptions regarding defaults and recoveries of insurance assets. So how do you tackle that challenge?
Well, to tackle the issue of insurance company defaults, we took a deep dive into our insurance ratings database dating back to 1977. Now, based on that data, we created BEST's Impairment Rate and Ratings Transition Studies, which you can download from our website, to form our long-term view of insurer default rates over multiple underwriting cycles. We transformed the data in these studies by smoothing out the data to make sure that insurer impairments are monotonically non-decreasing over time for each of the 21 ratings categories from AAA to C. Secondly, we applied regression, extrapolation, and fitting techniques to preserve some of the qualities in the historical data. The resulting default table we created is called BEST Idealized Issuer Default Matrix, and this is the table we use for establishing default rate of insurers in our transactions. This table is a snapshot of BEST Idealized Issuer Default Matrix, which can be found in our insurance-linked securities methodology. Once again, we use this table for default rates of insurance company-related assets. For example, an insurance company with an A- issuer credit rating is assumed to have a cumulative default rate of 5.48% over a 10-year period. Now, recoveries are a different matter altogether because they depend entirely on the assets in the transaction. So, for example, we assume recoveries as high as 70% for structured settlements, especially for transactions where the cumulative value of each annuity is below $100,000. For stress recoveries, we assume 50%. For surplus notes and insurance trust CDOs, we assume a base recovery of 0%. And that's because we observed extremely low and volatile recoveries for insurance debt collateral in prior transactions. For life settlements, we assume a base recovery of 80%, but much lower recoveries for big insurance policies, especially those over $1 million. And this is because we are not really certain that insurance guarantee funds will cover large insurance policies and transactions arranged by sophisticated investors. So as you can see, recoveries are very asset dependent. Here's a simple schematic of an ABS transaction and how the default rates and recoveries are applied. In this case, the collateral are all insurance-related assets. On top are assets of rated insurers. The default rates are applied based on the rating of each asset. The cash shown here is related to payouts from the underlying collateral. The defaults and recoveries affect the cash flow that is ultimately doled out through a waterfall, as Y mentioned. This waterfall takes care of all expenses, including interest and principal payments when due. And we'll use this diagram later on to show other aspects of insurance ABS transactions.
Besides defaults of insurers in the collateral pool Y, what other factors come into play when assessing the credit risk or the collateral in insurance ABS transactions?
Okay, sure. Let me show you some examples of factors that may come into play. Mortality risk is one of the key factors in rating some transactions, such as life contingency structured settlements. Usually with these transactions, there is medical underwriting on every single life from a third-party medical underwriter. They render life expectancy and mortality rating on each life in the transaction. We apply these mortality ratings to the U.S. population life table to obtain the mortality curve for each life for the purpose of performance simulation of the asset pool. Another key risk factor is longevity risk. Example is life settlement transactions. Similar to structured settlement transaction, a third-party medical underwriter renders life expectancy and mortality weighting on each life in the asset pool. However, here, we do not use U.S. population table. Instead, we use our valuation basic table. After that, we will apply certain adjustments to the mortality curve that produced by the valuation basic tables. Here is one other example, lapse risk. This risk can be found in insurance commission's securitization. Here we need to understand the lapse rates associated with the block of life policies in the pool in order to rate the transaction.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Manny, are there any circumstances where you would rate an ABS transaction whose underlying collateral is not insurance related?
So generally, we only rate transactions where the underlying collateral is related to insurance risks. But we have exceptions. One of the exceptions is in cases where there is non-payment insurance issued by a third party surrounding the collateral. We call this process credit substitution. In credit substitution cases, we consider a few factors. One is the results of the legal review of the non-payment insurance policy to make sure it can be easily rescinded or circumvented. Number two, the credit rating of the insurer providing the insurance. And three, the timing of the insurance claims settlement process and the mechanism to cover interest and principal payments due to noteholders before claims are actually settled. Schematically, one version of credit substitution is shown in this diagram. The collateral can be of any type of asset, both insurance and non-insurance, and the assets need not have any underlying rating. Each asset takes on the credit risk of the insurer providing the insurance. If there's only one insurer, obviously all the assets are correlated from a default perspective. Another version of credit substitution is shown in this diagram. In this case, the assets are not insured, but the security being rated, for example, tranche A in the diagram, is insured by one insurance company. Ultimately, the security may inherit a rating that is derived from the rating of the insurer.
So after you've determined collateral defaults, recoveries, and applied mortality tables and so on to the collateral where applicable, how do you actually go about determining the credit quality of the securities that you're rating?
Well, first we perform Monte Carlo simulations on the collateral to determine transaction cash flows. This process may include the modeling of defaults, recoveries, mortality, lapse, asset correlations, and other considerations. We then run the cash flows through a waterfall to take care of expenses, interest, and other payments. Then we determine the percentage of times when there is any shortfall whatsoever in interest or principal payments to the security being rated. This percentage is considered the default rate of the security. After calculating the default rate of the security being rated, we then tie this default rate to best idealized issue default matrix, which shows default thresholds for senior unsecured debt based on term to maturity. This table is different from best idealized issuer default matrix I discussed earlier, although the two tables are related through a transformation that I won't be discussing today. Here's a snapshot of best idealized issue default matrix, which can be found in our insurance-linked securities methodology. Once again, we use this table for determining the rating of the securities and insurance asset-backed securities transactions. So for example, a 15-year security with a simulated default rate of 3.64% has an implied rating of A-.
Why are there cases where it's impractical to perform simulations on your own or where you'll accept modeling results from sponsors of ABS transactions?
Oh, good question, John. Yes, there are cases where Monte Carlo simulation is impractical. For example, if the underlying asset involved millions of life policies, we may not have the computer power to do enough number simulation to estimate the cash flow. Remember, each simulation may involve a lot of random variables, such as mortality, lapse, interest rates, and others. In this case, a deterministic approach may be more appropriate, and we will stress the default of the asset, mortality, lapse, interest rate to understand the performance of the pool of the underlying asset. In other cases, we will rely on the modeling results from a sponsor. When the model result is produced by a sponsor or its representative, we expect the model to capture all significant risks in a systematic and comprehensive way. We usually will review the model documentation, evaluate the reasonableness of the model's assumptions and results. In some cases, we would put additional stresses on some key model inputs and parameters. We do accept model results from third parties, such as professional peer modelers, actuary firms, reputable brokers, or sponsors' own internal risk modeling. When the model results are provided by the sponsors as opposed to a third party, we will consider several factors when determining whether we will rely on that, though. First, whether a third party has evaluated the model. Second, the extent to which the modeling has included historical extreme events. Third, a comfort level with the model after discussion with the sponsors.
Overall, why? Can you summarize the basis of the rating recommendation to the AM Best Rating Committee?
Oh, yes, sure. In general, the basis of recommendation to the rating committee includes two factors. One is the implied rating, right? Second, the qualitative considerations. The implied ratings are determined by one of the following. First, the default probability, which is defined by the first dollar of loss that is associated with the securities, when we can really do the perform Monte Carlo simulation. Or the results of the deterministic stresses in the case that simulation is impractical, or results provided by a third party or sponsors. In that case, we may stress on the model inputs and parameters. The last one is the ratings of the insurer that directly provide credit support to the transaction in the case of securities credit substitution. Other than the implied rating, there are qualitative considerations such as the overall structure of the transaction to see if there are any legal vulnerabilities or original risk and the risk selection as found in trust preferred CDO transaction and the quality of service providers.
So Manny, where can transaction sponsors find the methodologies for rating insurance-related asset-backed securities?
Our main methodology for rating insurance-linked securities is Best Insurance-Linked Securities and Structures methodology. The idealized default matrices I mentioned earlier are included in this methodology. You can find the methodology and other criteria procedures on our website. In addition, when this presentation is made available, the methodology and criteria procedures will be hyperlinked so you can download them directly. Our email addresses will also be included in case you have questions about how we rate insurance-linked securities.
Manny, why, thank you for an outstanding and very comprehensive presentation today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Y Tang, Senior Director AM Best, and Emmanuel Madu, Managing Director AM Best. We'll have a full replay of this webcast posted within the next day or so. We'll have a full transcript out within the next week or so. For AM Best, I'm John Weber.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.